VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today as we are going to do a quick recap of some of the events that unfolded during the DNC convention last week and perhaps cover some of the issues and topics that the major media across this nation failed to bring out. First of all, tragedy did unfold in Kenosha, Wisconsin just yesterday. Police officers sent to deal with a domestic disturbance, and they shot and injured a black man. Rioters reacted, burning businesses, smashing windows, throwing beach bombs and bricks. It is the latest city now to be turned into a zone of destruction, says WND.com. Officers responded to the rioting with tear gas. Crowds eventually turned toward the Kenosha County Public Safety Building, where rioters clashed with police holding batons and plastic shields. The victim, the individual shot, I should say, hospitalized in serious condition. A statement came out from Wisconsin's Attorney General today on this, as this has become a nationwide story, saying that the Wisconsin Department of Justice Division of Criminal Investigation is investigating an officer-involved shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin that occurred on the evening of Sunday, August 23, 2020. DCI is leading this investigation, is assisted by Wisconsin State Patrol and Kenosha County Sheriff's Office. All involved law enforcement are fully cooperating with DCI during the investigation. The involved officers have been placed on administrative leave. DCI is continuing to review evidence and determine the facts of this incident. Will turn over investigative reports to a prosecutor following a complete and thorough investigation. Wisconsin's governor, boy, he was very quick to issue a statement yesterday after the incident happened, criticizing law enforcement officials while stating at the same time, we don't have all of the details yet, but situation will continue to unfold. Let's get to the DNC convention of last week. A video at the DNC showed Donna Hylton delivering the line, promote general welfare, as they went through and had various individuals make their quote from the preamble to the United States Constitution. But the one that said promote the general welfare is one known as Donna Hylton. Now, Hylton happened to be convicted for the kidnapping, rape, torture, and murder of a 62-year-old Long Island real estate broker in 1986. That was pointed out by a columnist for the American Thinker, Grant Baker. Also, there was last week a nun who led prayers at the recent Democratic National Convention, along with pro-LGBT priest, one known as James Martin, who told the Catholic media that the question of whether abortion should be opposed is above her pay grade. Isn't that amazing? We already know what Scripture says on it. And to make a judgment on the topic of abortion is above her pay grade. When pressed on whether abortion should be legal, the nun answered that to be pro-life is to protect Obamacare. By the way, Obamacare funds abortion. Also, last week, now we are told that Joe Biden has established a kind of like a religious caucus, an evangelical caucus, evangelicals for Trump, or for Biden, that is. And we see that the DNC dropped the term under God from the Pledge of Allegiance, both in the Muslim and the LGBTQ caucus meetings. It was during the convention that at least two meetings omitted the words under God from the pledge, reports LifeSiteNews.com. If you remember, President Trump was attacked for characterizing Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden as being against God. Well, the pledge, according to the U.S. Flag Code, reads this: I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, the Democrats' LGBTQ caucus began with a godless pledge. In this case, there was a pause, a very deliberate pause and pronounced pause, so that viewers, kind of like with a nod of the head, and participants could be aware that some words were being omitted from the pledge. The person that was reciting this was holding up several flags. One was an American flag. Another was the LGBT pride flag, showing support for homosexuality and gender ideology. And this is how they led that pledge for the LGBTQ caucus at the DNC.
Hello, everybody. If you don't have a flag, I have flags here right in front of me. Please place your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation,
a long pronounced pause,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well,
Thank you. Yes,
and it was another, David Brody pointed out too from CBN News that there was another under God omitted from the Pledge of Allegiance. This was from the DNC's Muslim Delegates and Allies Assembly. The delegate was A.J. Durrani, he reports, at the DNC.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There we have it again. This one coming from the Muslim caucus. So we have both the LGBTQ and Muslim leaving off the words under God in the pledge. CBN News is also reporting that the Joe Biden has pledged to make the Equality Act his top legislative priority. He told the powerful LGBTQ lobbying organization Human Rights Campaign last year, he said, I promise you that's the first thing that I'm going to ask that will be done. The bill would add sexual orientation, gender identity to federal civil rights laws with no exemptions for people of faith. The Human Rights Campaign called this year's Democratic LGBTQ platform the most pro-equality platform in history and is touting the first LGBTQ keynote speakers at the convention. Lord willing, we'll be sharing some of the items from the Democratic Party platform, as well as it was passed last week by the delegates. Townhall.com, former Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams headlined the second night of the DNC, calling President Trump a president of cowardice and accusing the president of undermining elections to keep his job. By the way, she put herself on the political map after she lost to Georgia Governor Brian Kemp in the 2018 midterm elections. Pushing unfounded rumors of voter suppression, she infamously refused to concede the gubernatorial race. But in her address, she called Biden a champion for free and fair elections after she led a two-year-long victimhood tour alleging voter suppression from Governor Brian Kemp. Very interesting indeed there. From the Daily Wire, the DNC used deported women to attack President Trump, though she was deported under Clinton and flagged under Obama. Now, I don't think, again, the mainstream, or major media, I should say, not too mainstream, reported this. The deported illegal alien that the DNC used to attack President Trump was previously deported under Bill Clinton, was flagged under Barack Obama to be deported after she illegally re-entered the U.S., Alejandra Juarez first sneaked into the U.S. in 1998, caught at the border, deported back to Mexico. Washington Times reported she quickly sneaked back into the U.S., a felony act, and remained in the shadows until a traffic stop in 2013 when she appeared on the radar of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Well, experts said an Obama-era initiative expanding the use of local police fingerprint checks to aid deportations likely flagged Mrs. Juarez for ICE. Yet this was done to attack President Trump, to try and put a thumb and nose at him during the DNC convention when it was actually the Clinton and Obama administrations that had taken actions against this individual. Also from townhall.com, to kick off the virtual nomination roll call at the DNC Tuesday night, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York reminded everyone that Senator Bernie Sanders had not yet been officially eliminated and reminded Americans that she supported a far-left agenda rooted in Marxism. She seconded the nomination of Bernie Sanders for the nomination. She gave a full-throated endorsement of every item on the socialist wish list and began by thanking the People's Movement that had rallied behind Sanders, saying in fidelity and gratitude to a mass people's movement, working to establish 21st century social, economic, and human rights, including guaranteed health care, higher education, living wages, and labor rights for all people in the United States. She went on to celebrate a movement striving to recognize and repair the wounds of racial injustice, colonization, misogyny, homophobia, and to propose and build reimagined systems of immigration and foreign policy that turn away from the violence and xenophobia of our past. LifeNews.com reports about President Obama choosing to give his DNC speech from the Museum of the American Revolution in Philadelphia to emphasize the very democracy is at stake, according to a Democratic official, saying, I did hope for the sake of our country that Donald Trump might show some interest in taking the job seriously, that he might come to feel the weight of the office and discover some reverence for the democracy that had been placed in his care, but he never did, said Obama. He had shown no interest in putting in the work. Obama continued, he has no interest in finding common ground. He mentioned in his speech that Donald Trump was trying to make it as hard as possible for people to cast their vote. Here's just a brief excerpt from his speech.
This president and those in power, those who benefit from keeping things the way they are counting on your cynicism. They know they can't win you over with their policies. So they're hoping to make it as hard as possible for you to vote, and to convince you that your vote does not matter. That is how they win. That is how they get to keep making decisions that affect your life and the lives of the people you love. That's how the economy will keep getting skewed to the wealthy and well-connected. How our health systems will let more people fall through the cracks. That's how a democracy withers. Until it's no democracy at all. And we cannot let that happen. Do not let them take away your power. Do not let them take away your democracy. Make a plan right now for how you are going to get involved and vote. Do it as early as you can and tell your family and friends how they can vote too. Do what Americans have done for over two centuries when faced with even tougher times than this. All those quiet heroes who found the courage to keep marching, keep pushing in the face of hardship and injustice.
Former President Barack Obama also remarks that there Tuesday during the second night of the DNC. Former President Bill Clinton criticized the way that the Oval Office had been used during the Trump presidency. He's saying Donald Trump says we're leading the world. Well, we're the only major industrial economy to have its unemployment rate triple, he added. Clinton went on to claim that Trump's Oval Office is full of chaos. Now, I won't go into detail, but Western Journal indicated how Bill Clinton had used the Oval Office with White House interns. Western Journal also reporting Hillary Clinton used her convention speech Wednesday to attack President Trump. Taking a shot at the Electoral College, warning that Trump might try to steal another term in office. If voters don't turn out in large numbers for Joe Biden, vote for the divisive, hopeful America we see in last year's roll call, she said, asking voters to recall her defeat. She won the popular vote but lost in the Electoral College. She asserted that the election was stolen from her. More to come in the recap following last week's DNC convention. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is there ever interbreeding between species?
Indeed there is, Chris. To illustrate this, let's talk about dogs. We know that in domestic dogs, there are many different breeds, and some of them are very different, from Great Danes to Chihuahuas, but all of them are interfertile. They're all part of the same species. The Bible tells us that God created the various kinds, and the dog kind, no doubt, included the domestic dogs. But it evidently also included the wolf and the fox and the coyote, because all of them can interbreed. Now I find that even jackals have been interbred with domestic dogs. Jackals have a very acute sense of smell, and so breeding them with huskies produced a new dog, which are good sniffer dogs for use at airports. Once again, Chris, we see that the biblical creation story is the one that makes sense, and that's the Back to Genesis truth.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America with a recap of last week's DNC convention, the RNC getting underway today. Let's go to Chuck Schumer. He was outside the Statue of Liberty, and you could hardly see the statue as it was behind him. But he said Tuesday night, Joe Biden will be a great president, but we're going to win this battle for the soul of our nation. Joe can't do it alone. He talked about undoing the vicious inequality of income and wealth that has plagued America. Also told about that Democrats need to take back the Senate and to be bold and dramatic, bring bold and dramatic change to the country. Here's just a few of the remarks from Chuck Schumer.
Let me tell you some of the things we do. With President Biden, Vice President Harris, and a Democratic majority, we will make health care affordable for all. We'll undo the vicious inequality of income and wealth that has plagued America for far too long, and we'll take strong, decisive action to combat climate change and save the planet. We will protect voting rights, fight systemic racism in the criminal justice system and in our economy, and restore a Supreme Court that looks out for people, not corporations. We'll rebuild our infrastructure and make sure every home, from inner city to rural America, has broadband. We will save the post office and once and for all defeat COVID-19, this evil disease. And, beckoned by the lady behind us, we will reform our immigration system so that immigrants yearning to breathe free will at last become American citizens. Together, we can reignite the hope once felt by millions of men and women, huddled masses on creaking ships, who glimpsed this mighty woman with her torch, knowing they could build a better life here in America. And out of this long national nightmare, America will finally awaken to a brighter future and a new day.
Okay, Chuck Schumer giving his vision for a Democratic-led nation through the presidency and also pushing for majority in the U.S. Senate as well. And he kind of left the fate of the filibuster up in the air, just saying that we'll do whatever it takes to advance the agenda. Linda Sarsour as well. This interesting story from CNSNews.com, as Arab American and Islamic American leaders Wednesday demanded that Joe Biden apologize after a campaign spokesman distanced the Democratic presidential nominee from the views of Linda Sarsour. She was a surrogate for Bernie Sanders during his campaign and is seen as being an ally of the Squad. The RNC posted a short clip of her appearance, and Republican Jewish Coalition Executive Director Matt Brooks said if Linda Sarsour is the face of the Democratic Party, then the Democratic Party has truly become the party of anti-Semitism and too toxic for American Jews. Well, there's a big firestorm about the criticism from Sarsour allies. Council on American Islamic Relations Executive Director Nihad Awad. They call themselves the nation's biggest Muslim civil rights and advocacy group. Described the attacks on Sarsour as Islamophobic and anti-Palestinian, saying we don't stand for these attempts to repress advocacy for Palestinian rights from the right, and we'll not stand for it from the Biden campaign, calling upon Biden to immediately apologize to Linda Sarsour and to American Muslims as well. Lord willing, next Monday, Usama Dakdak is scheduled to be with us here. But Joe Biden did condemn Sarsour Tuesday after she appeared at the council meeting. She is a Muslim activist. She's been critical of Israel. She's accused of anti-Semitism. She spoke at the DNC's Muslim Delegates and Allies Assembly. They went to give the idea Joe Biden has been a strong supporter of Israel, a vehement opponent of anti-Semite his entire life. He obviously condemns her views and opposes BDS, as does the Democratic platform, Biden spokesman Andrew Bates said. Well, we will see. Then we have Kamala Harris promising Joe Biden will end this pandemic, referring to COVID-19, and saying that the Trump response has cost lives. She said the racism is also a virus. The virus has no eyes, and yet it knows exactly how we see each other, as how we treat each other. Let's be clear, there's no vaccine for racism. We got to do the work. And also indicated that during the convention, she talked about the ramification of the coronavirus, slammed pro-life governors who sought to include abortions among the list of elective surgical procedures that need to be halted. And she called the efforts by states to stop abortion in order to fight the coronavirus an injustice. This is not a coincidence, she said. It is the effect of structural racism, the injustice in reproductive and maternal health care. Folks, again, we emphasize that killing a baby in the womb is not health care. Let's see. Also, by the way, when the this was on Western Journal, that when the nominee for vice president, Kamala Harris, was she closed out her speech, and then she waves to this big bank of video monitors showing, you know, all these applauding supporters for her. Well, they've learned that many of the screens showed the same figures twice. Zach Parkinson, a Trump campaign deputy director of communications, sent out the first image when it looked like just two of the scenes were dupes. But come to find out, it was a multiplicity of others. There were some four of the screens. He said apparently the DNC couldn't find even 30 people who were excited about Kamala Harris, so that they had to duplicate someone's live stream. Very interesting comment there. And during the acceptance speech Thursday night, we have Joe Biden pledging to restore the nation's soul if elected president, from LifeNews.com. The current president has cloaked America in darkness for much too long, too much anger, too much fear, too much division, Biden said. Here and now I give you my word, if you entrust me with the presidency, I will draw on the best of us, not the worst. I will be an ally of the light and not of the darkness. It's time for us, we the people, to come together. History has thrust one more urgent task on us. Will we be the generation that finally wipes the stain of racism from the national character? But he pledges to restore the nation's soul, but by the way, perfectly fine with abortion destroying some 62 million souls. In the first joint appearance with his running mate, it was with ABC's David Muir, who talked about a number of issues. But this clip has been surfacing in which Joe Biden, the nominee now for the Democratic Party, has said he's prepared again to shut down the country.
If you're sworn in come January and we have coronavirus and the flu combining, which many scientists have said is a real possibility, would you be prepared to shut this country down again?
I would be prepared to do whatever it takes to save lives, because we cannot get the country moving until we control the virus. That is the fundamental flaw of this administration's thinking to begin with. In order to keep the country running and moving and the economy growing and people employed, you have to fix the virus. You have to deal with the virus.
So if the scientists say shut it down?
I would shut it down. I would listen to the scientists.
Okay, he would shut down the nation once again. Well, Mike Pence also was in ABC, but this time with George Stephanopoulos, and he was questioned about some of these things as well.
Joe Biden put the COVID crisis at the center of his speech last night. He promised getting control of the virus would be his top priority and said that President Trump, quote, failed in his most basic duty to the nation. He's failed to protect us when the virus hit. Your response?
Well, I couldn't be more proud of the leadership President Trump has provided from the early days of the coronavirus pandemic. Remember, when President Trump took the unprecedented step of suspending all travel from China before we had a single person-to-person transmission of the coronavirus in this country, Joe Biden condemned it. He called it xenophobic and literally for months and months was critical of the president's response. And frankly, if we'd done what Joe Biden wanted to do, the losses would have been much, much more.
He's actually said he supported that move. The president said many times this would never
get... Well, he said he supported it months and months later, George. It was literally after everybody in the country recognized the difference that President Trump's leadership made. But, you know, it's remarkable when you looked at that speech last night, literally everything that Joe Biden said that we should be doing on the coronavirus, President Trump has been doing from very early on.
One of the things the vice president said last night, he wants mask mandates all over the country. The president has not supported that. But the president also said many times it would never get this bad. And back in April, you said we will, quote, largely have this coronavirus epidemic behind us by Memorial Day. More than 75,000 Americans have died since then. At a minimum, haven't you and the president underestimated the severity of this crisis? And is there anything more you could have done?
Well, I think it's important for all of us to recognize, as I think most Americans do, that we've all been learning all along the way. You know, on your network in late February and early March, there was a minimizing of the threat of the coronavirus. We were listening to our scientists along the way. And frankly, by Memorial Day, the massive increases in cases and losses in places like New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and elsewhere were largely behind us.
And that's Vice President Mike Pence on ABC with George Stephanopoulos. And one of the other issues that came up, and there is so much that certainly could be commented on, but one of the issues that also transpired through the course of the week was the passage of the Democratic Party platform, the 2020 platform. Some 91 pages. I don't have time to go through it all. Let me just read a few excerpts, several excerpts from this. When the people, American people, go to the polls this fall, we'll be choosing more than a candidate. Character is on the ballot in this election. The character of our president, yes, but more than that, the character of our democracy, our society, and our leadership in the world. These are direct quotes. Democrats will fight to repair the soul of this nation, to unite and to heal our country, to turn this crisis into a crucible from which we will forge a strong, stronger, brighter, and more equitable future. We must right the wrongs in our democracy, redress the systemic injustices that have long plagued our society, throw open the doors of opportunity for all Americans, and reinvent our institutions at home and our leadership abroad. Jumping to page six, we will never amplify or legitimatize the voices of racism, misogyny, anti-Semitism, anti-Muslim bigotry, or white supremacy. Democrats will protect and promote the equal rights of all citizens, women, LGBTQ plus people, religious minorities, people with disabilities, Native Americans, and all who have discriminated against in too many ways for too many generations. We must lead the world in taking on the climate crisis, not deny the science, and accelerate the damage. I'm going to jump ahead several pages here as well. Let's go to page 13, building a stronger, fairer economy. The economy is not working for the American people. In a matter of weeks, the abject failure of the President Trump and his administration to competently respond to the COVID-19 pandemic erased all the job gains made since the Obama-Biden administration pulled the country out of the Great Recession and plunged the economy into recession once more. President Trump inherited the longest economic expansion in American history from the Obama-Biden administration, and he squandered it, they say. Page 14, Democrats will fight to raise wages for the working people and improve job equality and security, including by raising the federal minimum wage so it reaches $15 an hour by 2026. We're going to move on to another page here. Let's go to page number 21. They say we will enact strong protections for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer youth, especially Black, Latino, and Native American LGBTQ plus youth who too often find themselves on the streets. Democrats will enact a new homeowner and renter bill of rights to protect Americans from abusive landlords and lenders and landlords. Democrats will take action to reverse the Trump administration's tax cuts, benefiting the wealthiest Americans and rewarding corporations for shipping American jobs overseas. We will make sure that the wealthy pay their fair share in taxes. Let me come back to a few more excerpts here from the Democratic platform. This is Crosstalk on VCY America with a DNC recap from last week.
The New England Primer was introduced in Boston in 1690 by Benjamin Harris. It was the first textbook printed in America. For a century after its introduction, it was the beginning textbook for students, and until well into the 20th century, it continued to be a principal text in all types of American schools. The founders, as well as millions of other Americans, learned to read from the New England Primer and the Bible. The core of the primer is its rhyming alphabet, such as for letter A, in Adam's fall, we send all. The letter G, as runs the glass, man's life doth pass. It also included lessons for youth, Bible questions, and a shorter catechism. A pocket-sized hardcover edition of this 1777 historical reprint is available for a donation of $9 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the New England Primer.
So we're reviewing portions of the DNC platform because this is their Bible. This is their Bible that they're going to govern over this next term. Should Joe Biden take office, and should the DNC, the Democratic Party, continue control of the House of Representatives and take control of the U.S. Senate as well? They do have a lengthy section on achieving universal, affordable, quality health care. We've heard those terms before, haven't we? But in that is a subsection on securing reproductive health rights and justice. You can listen to several paragraphs here. Democrats are committed to protecting and advancing reproductive health, rights, and justice. We believe unequivocally that, like the majority of Americans, that every woman should be able to access high-quality reproductive health care services, including safe and legal abortion. We will repeal the Title X domestic gag rule and restore federal funding for Planned Parenthood, which provides vital preventative and reproductive health care for millions of people, especially low-income people and people of color and LGBTQ plus people, including in underserved areas. Democrats oppose and will fight to overturn federal and state laws that create barriers to reproductive health and rights. We will repeal the Hyde Amendment and protect and codify the right to reproductive freedom. We will address the discrimination and barriers that inhibit meaningful access to reproductive health care services, including those based on gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, race, income, disability, geography, and other factors. Democrats oppose restrictions on medication, abortion care that are inconsistent with the most recent medical and scientific evidence that do not protect public health. We recognize that quality, affordable, comprehensive health care, medically accurate LGBTQ plus inclusive, age-appropriate sex education, and the full range of family planning services are all essential to ensuring that people can decide if, when, and how to start a family. Let's go also to the section on protecting LGBTQ plus health. We condemn the Trump administration's discriminatory actions against the LGBTQ plus community, including the dangerous and unethical regulations allowing doctors, hospitals, and insurance companies to discriminate against patients based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. Democrats will reverse this rulemaking and restore non-discrimination protections for LGBTQ plus people and people living with HIV/AIDS and health insurance, including coverage of all medically necessary care for gender transition. We will also take action to guarantee that LGBTQ plus people, those living with HIV/AIDS, will have full access to needed health care and resources, including by requiring that federal health plans provide coverage for HIV/AIDS testing and treatment and HIV prevention and medications like PrEP and PEP, gender confirmation surgery, and hormone therapy. Democrats are proud that the Obama Biden administration lifted the discriminatory lifetime ban on blood donation by healthy, gay, and bisexual Americans. Going to move on to another section here. This is our criminal justice section failing. We recognize, our criminal justice system is failing to keep communities safe and failing to deliver justice. Democrats believe we need to overhaul the criminal justice system from top to bottom. Police brutality is a stain on the soul of our nation. Democrats know we can end the era of mass incarceration and dramatically reduce the number of Americans held in jails and prisons while continuing to reduce crime rates, which have fallen steadily from their peak nearly three decades ago. Let me put in parentheses, I guess they need to see what's happening across the nation right now. This is a moment to root out structural and systemic racism in our criminal justice system and our society and reimagine public safety for the benefit of the people and character of our country. We need to reimagine public safety. They also say it's past time to end the failed war on drugs, which has imprisoned millions of Americans, disproportionately black people and Latinos, and hasn't been effective in reducing drug use. Poverty is not a crime. It should not be treated as one. Democrats support eliminating the use of cash bail and believe no one should be imprisoned merely for failing to pay fines or fees or have their driver's license revoked for unpaid tickets or simple violations. Healing the Soul of America, Democrats are committed to ending discrimination on the basis of race, ethnicity, national origin, religion, language, gender, age, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability status. Protecting women's rights. Democrats will fight to guarantee equal rights for women, including by ratifying the Equal Rights Amendment and at long last enshrining gender equality in the U.S. Constitution. Democrats believe every woman should be able to access high-quality reproductive health care services, including safe and legal abortion. Folks, this is the second time this is in this document. They really believe it. Repeal Hyde Amendment, codifying the right to reproductive freedom. They have a section here protecting LGBTQ plus rights. That's so important. They include it a second time. Democrats applaud this year's U.S. Supreme Court decision that made clear that employment discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity violates the law. But we know we still have work to do to ensure LGBTQ plus people are treated equally under the law and in our society. We'll fight to enact the Equality Act and at last outlaw discrimination against LGBTQ plus people in housing, public accommodations, access to credit, education, jury service, and federal programs. Ladies and gentlemen, that does mean your church. We will work to ensure LGBTQ plus people are not discriminated against when seeking to adopt or foster care, protect LGBTQ plus children from bullying and assault, and guarantee transgender students access to facilities based on their gender identity. Democrats will ensure federally funded programs for older adults and inclusive for LGBTQ plus seniors. Oh, the section goes on and on again on LGBTQ plus issues. It is a very critical issue there. Let's see. Under the gun violence, Democrats will enact universal background checks and online sales of guns and ammunition, close what they call dangerous loopholes that currently allow stalkers, abusive partners, and some individuals convicted of assault or battery to buy, possess firearms, and adequately fund the federal background check system. Listen to this. This is under supporting faith and service. Supporting faith and service. Democrats will protect the rights of each American for the free exercise of his or her own religion. They will protect the rights of each American for the free exercise of his or her own religion. But, next paragraph, we will reject the Trump administration's use of broad religious exemptions to allow businesses, medical providers, social service agencies, and others to discriminate. So we're going to give you free exercise of religion, but we're going to reject your use of your religious exemptions to discriminate against others. Climate change, a global emergency. We'll have no time to waste in taking action to protect Americans' lives and futures. And I think there was just my 90-some pages here. Making Washington, D.C. the 51st state, that would certainly secure a Senate advantage for their party forever and ever. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Your response, I've read just excerpts from this 90-some page Democratic platform. We've talked some about the DNC convention last week as well. Your observations to the convention that wrapped up last week. Again, the RNC getting underway this week. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. That religious freedom issue is very, very interesting. How they pledge for religious freedom, but will deny religious freedom to those who have an opposing viewpoint. Oh, also here is defense spending. Democrats believe the measure of our security is not how much we spend on defense, but how we spend our defense dollars and what proportion do other tools in our foreign policy toolbox and other urgent domestic investments. We spend 13 times more on the military than we do on diplomacy. So they push for diplomacy, and I believe we once had that phrase, peace through strength, that was put upon us here, but let's hear what you have to say. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Barack Hussein Obama's comment the other day during the DNC as far as endorsing Joe Biden, wasn't even close to actually endorsing him, but to condemn Donald Trump. I thought that was his obvious foremost yep. intent. The thing I find interesting in this whole thing is, why would a multimillionaire residing in Martha's Vineyard, who totally took advantage of being the president for 8 years, then all of a sudden, you know, actually want to condemn, you know, his own self if, in fact, Joe Biden comes into power as a communist that would hypothetically extract his wealth. Not only him, but the Clintons and all the other power social elitists that are part of the, in my opinion, the global globalists. That's my question.
Okay, I don't wish I had an answer here readily here, Mark, but there is certainly an agenda that is tantamount that needs to be promoted here. Our number 800-733-9829 if you want to weigh in on that issue or the wrap up here of the DNC convention. Michelle in Ohio, you're on the air.
Thank you so much, and for recapping that. I've watched all 4 nights of the DNC. And the themes are very clear, and they align with the 8 points of Alinsky on how to take over a country. And I just want to say the most important part is that in order to combat all of this, we need to go vote in person and at least to be able to combat all of their efforts towards subverting the vote and changing the election through their mail-in ballots. And anyone that is spiritually in tune with God's ways, and I take that most of your audience would be of such, I just recommend that you talk to people. Take the bravery and the courage and do as Ezekiel 33:6 says and warn the people and be the watchman on the wall. Because for them to be able to look into the face of America and absolutely lie through their teeth the way that they did, I'd love an opportunity to address each one of those things, you know, if there was time somewhere to do so, because it was just pitiful, plumb pitiful and heart sickening. Don't give up, be encouraged, and stand for the word of God and tell your friends, vote in person.
Michelle,
that would be my comment.
Okay, thank you for your call here today. Let's go to George in Port Charlotte, Florida. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to mention that I think America is at war right now with socialism and in the Democratic Party. And it seems like they've adopted what the Muslims, I forget what they call it, but they can lie while at war. And I think the Democratic Party is lying to America.
Okay. Thank you, George, for your thoughts. Dan in Kalamazoo, Michigan, you're on the air.
I wanted to make a comment about the little clip you played with Joe Biden saying that the hatred and the anger in our country needs to stop. But when the truth is, it's been the Democrats and the liberal media that's been promoting the hatred and the anger since before the election. That's my point.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. Let's go to Gary in Mesa, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hi. This is the first time I've met up with Colin. I was just saying that all of the things you read off from the Democratic Party's convention, you already have the right to all of those things. You have a right to be homosexual. I have a right not to like it. The Democrats haven't said anything about the true atrocities that go on all around the world, such as the killing of Christians in the Sudan, the imprisonment of political prisoners being made from the fact that they are Christian, like Brunson was in Turkey, and the Sisi Abibi in Turkey or in Pakistan was condemned to death just because she handed a cup of water to a Muslim when she was a Christian. These
yeah.
things,
yeah.
I've not heard one Democrat come to the defense of anybody that's been accused of these crimes.
You've raised some great points. Thank you, Gary, for your call from Mesa, Arizona. We're up against a break. Let's take the break, and then we'll come back to more of your phone calls here. Recap of the DNC. We've read several sections of the platform, some 91 pages in length. Time does not permit us to go line by line, but give you a sense of what is there. Should there be a change in direction in the administration and change in direction of the U.S. Senate as well? Just to give you that vantage point as we clue in as to what they are pledging to do. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. We now have on video Patricia Kaluers, one of the three founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, declaring, quote, "We are Marxist trained," end quote, as if there was any doubt. Yet sadly, new surveys reveal 63% of Americans respect the Black Lives Matter movement. Did you know that Eric Mann, formerly with the Weather Underground, spent a decade mentoring Patricia Kaluers? Well, what did he stand for? All we have to do is look to the 1974 political manifesto of the Weather Underground to find out. Quote, "Our final goal is the destruction of imperialism, the seizures of power, and the creation of socialism," end quote. By imperialism, he means the free market system. They go on to talk about using racism, Black Liberation Movement, to seize control of America. Nothing is new under the sun.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America, a recap of last week's DNC, and going right back to the phone lines, Daniel in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to make hopefully a couple of quick points. Number one, we definitely have to be careful of the Democrats because, as we found out in the past, every single time they accuse somebody else of doing something, they're doing it. And, you know, it's like a diversionary tactic, and it's happened every single time. Listen to Obama and some of the speeches that he gave. Come on. I mean, who can't see that? Well, a lot of people can't see that. And we know how this is all going to end, fortunately. Praise God, I've read the end of the, you know, I peeked at the end of the book. Fortunately, praise God and his wisdom, we know how this is going to end.
Yeah.
And everybody likes to say, hey, we're in the tribulation now. No. We're not in the tribulation now. The tribulation is going to make this look like a cakewalk. Every aspect of your life, the Alexas and all this other kind of stuff. The people that have adopted this technology, I'm shocked of some of my friends because I never thought that they would grab onto something like this with their personal, from their personal privacy. It's like, what are you doing with one of those things in here? I mean, I make them unplug it. Or I leave.
Daniel, I've got a lot of callers lined up here. Thank you for your thoughts today. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. And let's go to Ralph in South Dakota. You're on the air.
Thank you. Wanted to comment on Mark was the first caller, and the one following also mentioned the socialism and just the communist bent of the Democratic Party. You know, Joe said, well, called for a mask mandate and said, well, people would, you know, oppose that because it's just my freedom to do as I please. Well, he says, come on, give me a break. Well, give me a break. This is the very beginning, but I can guarantee you that, I mean, you're right, that part in their platform about religious freedom.
Yeah.
That just...
It says it all.
Half the things they accuse Trump of, they're doing too.
Yeah,
so
it's,
what... I mean, the hypocrisy, again, it's just... And, you know, I think the previous caller said, you know, the tribulation will make this look like a cakewalk, which is certainly true. Finish with a comment that...
Very quickly here, Ralph.
A man that lived under communism in Romania said, you know, communism is equal distribution of misery and poverty, you know, except for the very elite, like Obama. He's not worried. They won't take his wealth away, but they'll take everybody else's wealth away.
Ralph, thank you. I do have to run. We're short on time, and a lot of people lined up here. Thank you for your comments today. Appreciate it. Ron in Tri-Cities, Washington, you're on the air.
Yes. A lot of these proposals by the Democrats appear radical, but they don't appear radical to our kids because they have been subverted by our schools. Our schools are the biggest threat to liberty that we have. Nobody seems to address that, least of all the Republican Party establishment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron, for that. And, our recent programs with Bill Federer on socialism. By the way, some of you have been waiting for that book. Lord willing, they'll be in this week. They had to go back to another printing. Been so much in demand that they had to actually go back to the publisher to get more printed. But he's got a lot of space in there devoted to the socialism going on in the education system. Let's go to Merle in Tennessee. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I just wanted to say I don't think Satan himself could have written that platform any better. And I tell you what, if our republic is still intact a year from now, it'll be by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Merle. And again, that just we say this often, but not often enough, folks. Are you praying for this election? Are you praying for our nation? Such a critical, critical time for our nation at this time. Let's go to Albuquerque. Fred, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. You know, the Democrats, I think it's going to go against them because they have not wanted to do anything for the unworking people. And President Trump proposed to extend that little unemployment a little longer in Democrats. So I think that's just going to go against them big time because the voters are the ones that are, you know, the working class, and they're having a hard time making ends meet. And all of them have even lost their jobs. They wouldn't even open permanently. So I think it's in the fact that the president's going to remain for another 4 years because, you know, I think he has to fulfill the prophecies that have to be fulfilled. And all we have to do is just pray and stand with him, you know, and make sure that everything is safe and as straightforward as possible.
Okay. Thank you for your thoughts, Fred. Let's go to Carl in Lake Delton. You're on the air, Carl.
Yeah. Billy Graham once said, if God doesn't judge America, then he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. And a lot of people don't realize if this election is not settled by January 20th, Nancy Pelosi will be the president of the United States. God is going to hold those people that vote against killing babies. God's going to hold them accountable.
Okay. Thank you, Carl, for that. Elections do have consequences. I don't know about the Pelosi connection there. I do know that she's second in line after the vice president. But of course, we have all different House elections that are taking place at the same time. But thank you for your thoughts. And our final call from Oslo, Minnesota. And Scott, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to call and thank you for your programming and say that if you put your trust in man, you're going to be disappointed every time.
You're right.
But if you trust in God, you will never be disappointed.
Amen. Amen. Good thought. Thank you, Scott. Good closing remark for our program here today. And friends, again, our trust and confidence is in the Lord. And so we need to look to him. We need to be in prayer. But we so often have quoted the passage, though written to Israel, there is, I believe, great application of my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal the land, their land. The importance of being in prayer. We do know it's righteousness that exalts a nation, but sin that is a reproach to any people. Understand, friends, this is no time to check out. You have the stewardship of your own vote and how you cast that vote. We encourage you to cast your vote prayerfully as you consider and weigh all the issues that are at hand. But let's turn, continue to turn, and look, keeping our eyes firmly on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk as we continue to encourage you to pray for our nation and pray for our leaders.
Listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.